Job in motion. Rodgers has it stripped. Ball is loose in the end zone. Lacy picks it up. And they're waving their hands right now. It is a safety.
One of the many fun plays in that game where Joe Kelly was there.
I was.
Little man Joe Kelly.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a core right there, you know? That's where I start to get a little like, whoa, like it is the end of an era, kind of smacks you in the face. You know, you think back to things like this, and it's like a lot has happened there, whether it be something like what I experienced or Mapove getting shoved out of the side, right? Like anything, like there's so many. Just think of how many people were there at the same time, interconnected narratives, right? That you're
it's
just kind of
a Bakari Rambo legacy game.
Yes. Like Mario Williams has a great game. It's just not even that game in specific, it's just in general. Like the interconnected storylines you have with just random people you come across at the game, it's just something beautiful, and you don't really get that outside of a place and fan base like Buffalo and Highmark, right? Like I'd put the Bills Mafia in front of any soccer fandom.
And that game that would be able to push is part of a season that does not matter in the end. They don't make the playoffs. It is Doug Marrone's final game, as a matter of fact, as the Bills head coach at home.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Before he just
ups and leaves. Yes.
What a nightmare.
But that's also, you know, because of the passing of Ralph Wilson, there's a clause in his contract that he can get out of it with a change of ownership. And he does. So it's interesting that you can connect some dots like that. And yeah, again, the season ultimately doesn't matter. It's not one that you really look at and go, okay, I remember that season. No, you don't. You remember that game that you were at. And it's for different reasons. It's not necessarily the on-field product. It is that you were part of a Play 60 campaign and you got to high-five Mario Williams. You were part of the lineup introductions.
Right, yeah.
My detective work helped us find out what game it was.
Yeah, yeah. I just remember being miserably cold in December.
Yep.
And then we got there.
It was pretty easy, though, because there was only one home game in December.
We didn't have
year.
To do a lot.
I didn't have to do a lot of research, but I did it. I'm proud of myself for it, okay?
Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
Not to make it about me. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're revisiting our favorite memories of Highmark Stadium, and we're going to continue doing that probably throughout the rest of the weekend here as well. We've got plenty to talk about. We've been talking a lot about hockey as well. We've had Paul Hamilton on, Travis Yost on. We'll have Brian Koziel on closer to the end of the show as well, as we'll hand things off to him and pregame at 2 o'clock. The Sabres take on the Blue Jackets at 3. Man, it's a shame that the Bills lost to the Eagles like that, because we would have been able to continue experiencing the city doesn't know how to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that game happened the way that it did. We're already on to the next one. And I do think it is a shame that there's not much to play for here against the Jets.
Yeah.
I would have liked it to be a little bit more of the stakes. But as we mentioned, the on-field product's not always the important part here. You'll be able to say, for those that are there tomorrow, I was at the last game at Highmark Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to worry necessarily about that, of who was on the field. You might even recall it in a bit of a snarky tone, like how I brought up how Kellen Moore was the starting quarterback at a game that I had attended, and it's the first thing I remember.
Yes. Yeah.
So you could get a little bit obscurist with your history. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll go to Jack in Rochester. Jack, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
Hey, guys. It's John.
Anyway, John. Sorry, man.
That's okay. I got to go back to 1974 opening day. We were on Monday Night Football, which was a huge thing. We were playing the Oakland Raiders, and long story short, with less than 2 minutes, we had a one-point lead, 14-13. Just had to run out the ball. Jim Braxton fumbles, and the Raiders pick it up and run in for a touchdown. But then with less than 2 minutes, Joe Ferguson led the Bills down on an 80-yard drive with seconds left, hit Amar Rashad. Sellout crowd, I mean, it was one of the loudest memories I have of the stadium. And that's the year we broke our first mini drought and made it to the playoffs.
Look at that.
There we go. John, appreciate the call. Thank you. And what the game he's talking about, though, as well, that's a new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were, they'd moved out of the rock pile. Yep. And
yeah,
it's only a couple of years old at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a new stadium, too. Like, that's one of the things that you can also connect it to. And it's really fun looking, like, when people say the games that they've been to, and while they're talking, I will immediately start looking it up of, like, okay, what was this? As they are, as they're bringing their memories into it, and you then try to connect and try to visualize a little bit of it, of what they're seeing. You know, try to connect with them in that way. Of what it is they're seeing. And I feel like that's pretty interesting to always look at the games, even if it's after the fact of like when they're done with the call or with you, finding out what the game was.
Yeah.
It is always interesting to see that sort of thing where you know the games or you figure out which of the games they're talking about. And it's great, though, to hear of different games, different times. Like, I'm not there in the 1970s. I'm not existing.
No.
But I'm glad that people are able to bring up memories of things that I haven't been around for.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's been, and you can
for
probably,
you that's a larger number.
This, I feel like even with the Super Bowl stuff, it's so hard to associate with it.
Yeah, even I can't.
Yeah,
I'm a baby.
That's what I was saying. Like, you and I are not there. We're not watching those games. We're not. Like,
no. That's
a different team of a different era.
I'm three for the last Super Bowl.
Exactly. That's like when the Sabres were good, how young I was. I never experienced, realistically, I didn't experience it, right? Like,
so old.
It's just, it's fun to look back on and kind of get told about what it was like. Because
right.
I can't associate that myself. I can watch the Four Falls of Buffalo all I want while they make the kick go in at the end, the ESPN 30 for 30 nightmare at the end. But I'm never going to resonate with that. I didn't watch that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Where this new Bills team, I think, is giving a lot of us a window in. It's not the same scale. I'm not trying to get yelled at on the phones, but it's not losing four Super Bowls in a row. But the heartbreak, you do start to kind of understand what it could feel like.
What it could feel like. Yeah. You're right. 803-0550. We're going to keep taking your calls while we still can here, and we'll keep going here. Chris in Toronto, welcome into Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking my call. First-time caller.
Thanks for calling.
Traveling with my wife down to Buffalo. We're just heading through Toronto. Live in Barrie, Ontario. Been longtime season tickets holder. My best memory starts on a Monday night football in January 2023. We're playing the Cincinnati Bengals, and Damar Hamlin dies and is brought back to life on the field. The next game, my wife and I are going to in Buffalo. We get off the highway. We park in lot one, a long big tree on the left-hand side going in. Some guy's got a great big tree on his front yard, and it just starts to hit you from there on in. The tailgate was awesome. We lose the toss. We're in section 218, which is right of the, if you're running out of the tunnel, it's on the right. It's on the visiting team sideline. Nyheim Hines catches the ball. He goes a little left. He goes a little right. And I see that the hole is open. I turned to my wife and said, Sue, he's got a chance of going all the way. And what happened then was one of the biggest sports moments in my whole life. What a moment that was.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for the call on that one. And as somebody that had to work that Monday night game, the week prior, it was professionally probably the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
Nate and I, we just were told at that point, rifle through the brakes and get the heck out of there. Because we had eventually realized it's going to come back to us. And that game, though, that moment where Nyheim Hines takes that opening kickoff back, Jim Nantz calls it and he says it's storybook.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a moment that really hits a lot of people in the feelings of, man, sometimes sports can write things for you that even the most illustrative authors could not.
Yeah.
And that was one of those moments.
Unbelievable.
I.
And the metric of how long it had been since that happened. It was a bunch of threes. Remember that?
Yes.
Like there's something going on there. It was unbelievable.
And then they ran the second back, the second kickback.
Yeah.
And I started laughing my ass off because I'm like, okay, that guy's getting fired.
Right.
But also, this is awesome.
It's also today, January 3rd of 2026. That's 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Like, wow. Like, crazy to put that in perspective.
Thank you, though, for that call. And it's one of the most raucous moments you're ever going to see in all of sports history.
Mm-hmm.
And again, ultimately, it does not do much. It really ends in the same kind of, you know, you should have won, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You got humbled by a Bengals team that you did not have a chance to play a full game with.
No, and even if you played the full game, they were railing you. There was no question about that.
Matter of fact, what you did, though, was you eliminated the Patriots that day.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
But again, it's one of those where you just,
mm-hmm.
that kind of moment, you remember that forever, especially if you're there for it.
Yeah.
I only saw that on the television while working here, and it was still incredible for me.
So I was working here, but that was before I was working here.
Yes.
Right? Like, it was kind of a... I was still working my way up, and my mom was in Cincinnati. She drove down there for the game.
Right.
And getting the texts, like seeing in, they can't go to commercial break, so you're watching it happen. Getting the texts of, he's not moving, he's not getting back up, all this, like getting actual real-time update, and then finding out that they were able to stabilize him in the hospital, all of that, and then watching that game the next weekend. I mean, that has to be probably one of, if not the biggest. I know the comeback game, but even just outside of a football moment, I would say that's got to be the top, right?
It's got to be an incredible pop.
Yes.
That's the thing. Like one of the loudest you'll ever hear in all of sports. And it is for something like that. And it's incredible that, you know, in a different way, it is incredible that it happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, the return touchdown happens here.
Yeah.
It's not on the road.
No.
It is
not
here.
In New England. It's, and they all have patches with threes on their jerseys. Like everything changed.
And there's patches on the fields everywhere.
Yeah. The 30 yard line, the three is highlighted with blue.
Right.
Like it was unbelievable.
Yeah. But, and then what do you get though? It's here. That first kickoff is returned for a touchdown. That's, again, the most illustrative authors cannot write that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not cooking that.
No. That's why the NFL
script stuff. They see something like this, and then they write it based off of that.
Yeah, right.
That's where that goes. We keep taking calls here. Matt in Rochester, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
Hey, how you doing? I had season tickets for about 10 years, so I've been to a decent amount of games. My favorite one, I'm sure someone brought it up at some point, but the snowball game from 2017, the Colts.
Oh, yes.
And we got a lot of snow that game, and I've never seen anything like it. It was one of my favorite games, one of the games I'll always remember.
Matt, thank you for the call.
And you're actually the first one to bring that up today,
I think. Yeah, today definitely the first one to bring it up. And Shady McCoy.
Yep.
Shady McCoy walking it off. It was so fun.
Watching that on TV. We haven't had a game like that since.
It was hard to watch that game and cover it on TV.
Thank God they were in the red jerseys.
Right.
Can you imagine if it was even the white pants with the blue jerseys?
Hey, you know what?
You would lose half the people.
Hey, you know what? Good for Nathan Peterman for not throwing a bunch of interceptions
to that's the only
white jerseys and white helmets in the snow.
Yeah. Listen, the only conditions he can play in are whiteout conditions and bright-colored jerseys because you can't do anything. Everyone's dropping footballs. Everyone's sliding all over the place. Like you have to put him in that kind of environment to excel.
But then that sets the stage for the ultimate bonanza in 2017, which is closing out the year, breaking the drought.
I can't imagine.
Because they needed that win.
Yeah. I can't imagine going to that game.
Oh,
and, like,
no.
Sitting in
you
that.
You can't.
Evan, were you there?
Could you see?
No. I literally have a picture. We were, like, at the end zone where McCoy scored the touchdown. So we were on the scoreboard side.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a picture taken at that stadium. You could not see a thing.
You couldn't see like 5 feet in front of you. Your visibility was nothing.
Yeah, visibility was rough. I'll show it to you guys in the break.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one of my favorite games.
That's awesome.
That I went to.
Yeah. I remember watching that on TV and just being astonished. How are they doing this?
We'll keep rifling through here as we're getting connected with our fans. We'll go to Mark in West Seneca. Mark, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got, man?
Hey, guys. That previous caller about the game in 74, I think it was.
Yep.
The Raiders, the Monday night game. I was at that game also. I was a kid. I'm going to tie two eras together here real quick.
Okay.
So you can check this. I thought it was O.J. that fumbled, but that's really irrelevant. But they did pick it up and run it in, and at that moment, I'm there with my dad and my brother, and my dad says, let's go, we're out of here. And so we walk out, we're in the parking lot, and we hear the roar when Rashad catches the touchdown, and I look at my dad and I say, we're never leaving again early, ever, ever again, right? So we're huge Bills fans. We had seasons for 40 years. We go to all these games. Well, in the mid-'80s, my dad passes away, and now I'm still going to games and that. And up comes the greatest comeback game. And I am now in the stadium with my brother and two other relatives, and everything's happening, and my brother looks at me, and he says, we're leaving. I said, no, we're not. We get into an argument. I throw the keys at him. I say, you want to leave? I'll find a way home, but I'm not leaving, the whole time thinking of my dad.
Right.
And sure enough, we stayed. Nobody left, and the game happened. So it's just ironic how, and I'm sure Bills fans in Western New York have things like this that have happened year to year, season to season, era to era, if you're, because we're all Bills fans our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we go to the games or not is one thing, but we plan our good days on Sunday around the Bills,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure people can tie years and years like that together to family things and to family events. And the last thing I want to say is, how ironic is it that one of the most iconic, greatest things that has ever happened in that stadium is a hockey game? Because there has never been a Winter Classic that has been even close, and I was at that game too, that has been close to that snow globe game and captured the essence of what outdoor playing on ponds hockey is for all people who live in areas that do that. As you can attest, I mean, last night was fine, but that doesn't even come close to what that game is supposed to, you know, be all about. So, but that's just what I wanted to tie in. So thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Mark, appreciate the call. Thank you. And that's incredible. Of the connection there. Because, again, it's not always about the games themselves. It's about the memories. It's about the people.
Yeah.
And you were able to connect two games that you were there and connect two eras. I had a sense. I knew where that was going as he was going through the call. When he said, his father said, well, we're never leaving a game early again.
Yeah.
I had an immediate thought of, I know where this is going to go, and I'm here for it. And lo and behold, there it is.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. And again, I appreciate a lot of people like, you know, sorry for the passing of your father as well, but like that's the other part of it. Like the vulnerability that everyone has with the memories of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other big thing is we're getting to know a lot of people and getting to hear about things where, you know, you're opening yourselves up and I'm here for that. That's the community. Like you say, Joe.
Yeah.
It's not very commonplace.
No.
Across fan bases.
The country, anywhere. I mean, it's one of one in the NFL, I think, right?
Right.
Like, and even, like I said, those Premier League soccer, these fan bases are insane, right?
Yes.
But I would put how tight-knit the Bills Mafia is, everybody is, up to them with bar none, right?
Right. Like,
I would. I don't think there's a competition.
All right. We're going to keep getting connect with our fans. We'll go to John in Batavia. John, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
Hey, thanks for the show. I actually have two favorite memories. These are two games I attended back-to-back. In 2013, Carolina, it ended with an E.J. Manuel walk-off touchdown to Stevie Johnson.
Yes.
And then the very next game I attended, Minnesota the next year, which ended with a Kyle Orton walk-off touchdown to Sammy Watkins. So two games in a row I attended, and it was walk-off touchdown. So two times in a row, I was like, hey, maybe I should keep going to games. That's what he was going to walk touchdowns. That was in Green Bay later that year in 2014. And I think that's my favorite memory of two favorite stadium besides the whole bunch of games I attended. I also attended some concerts. Metallica, Billy Joel, Luke Combs, George Strait. And that's all I have for memories. Thank you for the show, hey. And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. And that is kind of wild that you go back-to-back years of walk-off touchdowns. Like, it's not a very common occurrence in the NFL either.
No,
you know,
and that is awesome.
That's probably, and especially for those Bills teams,
Hold on.
Because it's two different quarterbacks.
Hold on. You forget about the Kyle Orton era. He was the quarterback in that Packers game, right? Yes, he was. 2014. I'm remembering this now. That's even crazier.
I got to see
Kyle Orton in person, too.
I have the game.
That just popped back into my brain that I remember it was not E.J. Manuel. I was trying to think who the quarterback was. It was number 18. It was Kyle Orton.
You are absolutely correct.
Fresh off of they played Detroit earlier in the year, and you got the laser pointers pointing in his eyes. Remember that?
Yep.
That is the Kyle Orton era, we moved on too quick. That's all I got to say. Well, he actually did.
He moved on too quick.
He packed up and he Doug Marone'd out of that locker room. I forgot about that.
By the way, you know what's also wild about that game? Now I'm looking at stat lines because of that. Because I still have the page up.
Yeah, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers goes 17 of 42.
Yeah, yeah. He played bad.
The guy who's an ace for completion percentage just could not get a thing done.
It was the cold front. The defense.
It was the defense.
That Jim Schwartz defense
was fun.
Oh, my God. That is what kept the drought at least a little bit livable, I would say.
A little. And it was the end of it.
Yeah.
It was toward the end of it. 803-0550 is the number to call. Everyone that's calling in, keep going here. Keep hanging in here. Real quick, we'll go to Rick in Denver, though. Rick, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
Hey, guys. I want to shift topics a little bit and get back to the Sabres.
Sure.
You know, I think this 10-game winning streak is not a coincidence. I think about 3 weeks ago, there were probably a number of players that, when Adams was here, were looking for a way to get the hell out of Buffalo. And now, after this 10-game winning streak, I can guarantee you every single player in that locker room doesn't want to go anywhere else. And they believe in Yarmo. And I think the turning point was the interview with Lindy Ruff. And, you know, his demeanor was, like, defeated. And he didn't know if he was coming or going. And I think the players rallied around Lindy. They believe in Lindy. And I think that's the reason why we're on this 10-game winning streak. And I'm looking forward to them breaking it today in a couple hours by beating Columbus.
Rick, appreciate the call. And I think the biggest point of this is that, no, it's not an accident anymore. You see them outworking teams. Whether they're better than them or not, you're seeing the effort being put in. And that's them buying in, not just to the coach, but to themselves. I think that is also the case. You know they're a good team, and they're now putting in the work to make sure that it matches. So, no, it's not an accident anymore, and you can look at it through anything that you want. But if you watch, you could see it. They are tenacious. So that is something to it. We'll keep taking your calls for one more segment here coming up on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly with all of you. If you're on hold, stay there. If you're still trying to call in, we'll get to you here on WGR.
Right now, this New England offense has got to get off its butt and do something. Their defense had a three and out. Reward them for it.
Intercepted. Picked off right side. Here goes Sig. Sam. Adams.
Oh, no. I love that call has, okay, they got to reward the defense. Intercepted.
Yeah.
Like, big immediately.
Sam Adams.
But immediately he's like, you got to reward him. And it intercepted.
Spoke it into existence, right? Can't argue with that. Can't argue.
And then to find out in the rest of the call that it's Sam Adams. Like, that's awesome. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly here with you on Sports Talk Saturday. We've been taking your calls, feeling a little nostalgic about Highmark Stadium, and we're going to continue to do so. I just want to let everyone know we got to get to Brian Colesville at 1:45, so we're going to be on the quick.
Mm-hmm.
You're on there. You're on hold. Let's get to all of you. I'm going to get through to all of you, but in order to get everybody, we got to move on the fast here. So, as we get connected with our fans, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start off this segment with Casey in Jamestown. Casey, what you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Two real quick ones. One was that comeback game, last second, 2014, E.J. Manuel,
yes.
Jimmy Johnson. That I was there with my grandpa. Only game I've ever been to with him. I don't think I've ever seen him happier. The other one was a preseason game in 2019. If you remember Tyree Jackson from UB.
Yes.
Yes.
He came in undrafted and scored four touchdowns in the last, like, 3 minutes to beat the Vikings. Probably the greatest preseason game I've ever seen.
I love it.
That's awesome. Thank you, Casey. Appreciate the call. And appreciate you. We got to stay on schedule here. We got to hammer these calls out, and then we got to get to Brian. So, unfortunately, we can't pontificate further for a lot of these. And it makes me sad. You know, damn these time limits. We'll go to David in Williamsville. David, what you got?
First time I met Highmark Stadium, I was going to a concert as a
security guard.
Okay.
And I'm a skinny little guy. I just basically threw the Frisbees back over the fence. As I went to Bills games themselves, I loved watching Tasker through my binoculars, like focusing in on him. And about, let's say, 4 or 5 years later, I lost my vision. And the biggest thing I missed was watching Tasker through my binoculars. You know, and I try to let Steve know that that was one of the hardest things about losing my vision, was not being able to follow him individually on special plays.
Well, David, thank you for the call, and I appreciate
sorry that,
that
happened.
Yeah.
Tasker was a special player to follow, by the way, what he was able to do out there. That's why the Hall of Fame campaign is so important to
right.
many people, but yeah.
No, thank you for that call. I appreciate that. And, you know, but also thanks for calling in. Thanks for, you know, again, the vulnerability that people are able to give out here. And I always appreciate that. It's not an easy ask. You know, that's the other thing about that. We'll keep going here, though. We'll go to Tammy. Tammy, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
Hi. My husband used to bring out the Boy Scouts on the field with the flags,
mm-hmm.
and they would get to run down the tunnel.
That's
and
awesome.
My husband was one of the first people to ever shovel out the stadium. And it was just crazy. And then we were at the one game, and the Boy Scouts were bringing out the flags. And I guess Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas thought I was just looking bored. So I interlooped my arms between theirs, and my feet are just dangling as they're walking me through the tunnel. And the tailgate parties that they have out there are just phenomenal. My daughter just had a baby, and she raised her shirt up, and they had written on her belly, Bill's baby. And then the other girl wrote, "Beer, Bill's beer belly." And then her husband had something funky wrote on his belly to represent the Bills. And the ketchup and mustard fights over the tables. And it's just, we're going to miss it. But hopefully we'll get as many memories in the new stadium as we have in the old one. And my husband took a blanket. M&T used to give away these blankets if you signed up for a credit card.
Yep.
And he started having all these former players, all the alumni players, all former players. Oh, he's got 101 signatures on this blanket, including Marv Levy and Van Miller. And my husband passed away 17 months ago. And
sorry.
I've been trying to get this blanket authenticated. I got pictures of most of the players signing it. The only current player on there is Deion Dawkins. But it's the most amazing blanket. There's only one of it in the world. And it's just amazing. And I am so thankful that my husband got to go to that field house and take them pictures every week.
Mm-hmm.
When we had a different team in town, they'd have something said where they would, you know, you could get their picture taken with them. It showed a Bills player in the background, and then you got your picture and you got to keep it. And I got folders and folders with him with all these different players. And
right.
I just want to thank the Bills. Thanks to Ralph Wilson Stadium. Thanks to Highmark Stadium. Thanks to it all. So we love our Bills.
Thank you, Tammy, and appreciate the call. And that blanket, that's got to be insane.
I know.
That has to be insane, having that many signatures. that itself is cool in and of itself there. All right, Brian in Arcade, what you got for us? Welcome in.
So the game that stands out to me is 1998 Doug Flutie and the naked bootleg beating the Jacksonville Jaguars with Tom Coughlin and just him getting angry at the Bills. that was about the loudest, one of the loudest points that I remember that stadium. The Flutie chants all the way out the stadium. The parking lot was nuts after the game. And then the other one that stands out, I didn't say this to the screener, but 2007 Giants. Boy, was that a cold, miserable game, man. Wow. I don't know that it's been any colder than that one. I've been to a lot of games. That was freezing.
Oof. First of all, thanks for the call, Brian. And we've all done one of those.
Yeah. I mentioned the
Dallas game where it's like dreadful conditions.
Yes.
And like nothing matters in that season. But like,
I was at the Wind Bowl. The Patriots run 53 times. Mac Jones throws two. I was up in the 300s with my navy blue Bills jersey on, getting mistaken for the enemy. And I was not. I can assure you of that.
Joe Kelly was not the enemy.
No, was not.
People loved that game. It's okay. All right. So we got to get ourselves moving here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sean is going to be the perfect way for us to transition back into hockey because we'll be talking to Brian Koziel next. Sean in St. Catharines, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
Hey, Sean, Artie Burke here. It's so great to see the Sabres finally turn it around. But it is the Bills, though. I'm the youngest of eight, and my mother wouldn't let me go to the games until about 84. And we sucked. We're back-to-back 2-14 seasons. The Cowboys came to town. The stadium would get maybe 60,000 the first couple games, then we'd start losing. Now the Cowboys come to town and they're 73. Not a sellout, but I'm like amazed. Look at all these people. The waves going on, and Greg Bell hit like a 90-yard touchdown run, and we signed Kelly, and now they're selling out every frigging game for like 10 years. What an experience. Just a great, unbelievable. If you've never been to a Bills game, it's unbelievable. Quite the experience. But yeah, the Sabres, I wanted to say, they were, you know, Lions was playing so hot, and even Hamilton was talking about, why is Lundy playing Luukkonen? Why would you do that? Well, his parents are in from Finland. And when you do stuff like that, it just brings the locker room together. These guys are, they're for real, man. They are good. They are scary good. Thanks for taking my call. And let's go Bills and let's go Sabres.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate the call there. And I looked at the stat line on this one. He mentions Greg Bell ripped off close to a 90-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that opens the scoring, as a matter of fact, to 206 on the ground that day.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, my eyes popped open looking at it like, good Lord. But, yeah, that was a win against Dallas there, 14-3. So, all right. Thank you to everyone that called. I'm proud of us. We got through it. We got through it in timely manner, and now we have to get things going here because, unfortunately, this is going to be the last thing that we do when it comes to really having the show for ourselves here. Why? Because we're going to start handing things off. Talking to Brian Koziel coming up next, we'll probably ask him a thing or two about Highmark Stadium.
Oh, yeah, we got plenty.
We've been doing that with everybody today, and we'll do that, but then prepare the transition for Sabres pregame coming up at 2 o'clock here on WGR. Sabres taking on the Blue Jackets in a little more than an hour's time.
There's a lot of new walls around this building now, and I want to run through every single one of them.
Now, we just painted them. Don't do that. But we needed to make sure that we were kind of on a little bit of schedule here for timing. Why? Because Sabres pregame is indeed up at 2 here when we are finished, so I wanted to make sure that I get to Sabres pregame on time here today. Brian, I deserve a cookie.
Pregame starts now, 1:47.
Let's go.
Yes.
Here we go.
Pregame starts now, 1:47. You know what? Before we go Sabres heavy then, Brian, I'll ask you the question that I've asked everybody today. And that is,
apparently it doesn't.
No, yeah, not yet. I'm going to help.
No,
I'm going to help keep direction.
As much as you thought we were going there, we're not. Actually, Derek just yanked the cookie away from you.
Yeah, so. I yanked it from myself. I've lost my own cookie. But, Brian, Highmark Stadium, obviously the last game here tomorrow. So, you know, I'll do what I've done with every guest that we've had, every caller that we had today. Why not include your memories into the mix here? What's the most memorable thing that you have from Highmark Stadium over the years?
So, I've been listening to our coverage, obviously, over the last few days here and hearing everybody's stories. Good stuff, for sure. I mean, as a kid, you know, just going with my dad and my family, like we had a lot of good memorable games. I think as an adult, the most recent memory that I guess, you know, since I'm a mid 40s person here, for those that are a little bit younger of games that might remember, I point to 2011, September 25th, Bills Patriots. They're down 21-0 and they come back to beat New England. And for me, the reason that that game not only was so good, it was just the day. For a long time, family, cousins, extended family from all over would come in. We would do one annual game with a huge tailgate where everybody would come in and, you know, be like 30, 35 people, even people that weren't going to the game. But that day couldn't have been better. It was, you know, 75 degrees and sunny, and the Bills came back. And to me, one of my favorite moments, because there were so few of these, was after Fred Jackson takes the pass from Fitz and goes all the way down to the one. The whole stadium initially thought he scored. And then we realized that maybe he didn't score. And then a lot of people in the building or in the stadium are realizing that it's actually better that he didn't score, because now you're not giving Tom Brady any time left. It's actually better that since it's tied, that he actually is ruled down at the 1-inch line, and then we can just kill the rest of the clock. And over the course of all this happening, Belichick is on the field actually asking for it to be reviewed, because he, of course, is smart enough to realize, hey, if they rule this down at the 1-inch line, we don't get the ball back. So he's actually trying to get it reviewed to actually get it to be a Bills score, and they don't have any timeouts left. So he's on the field. He's trying to waste time, and you know, the crowd is obviously getting all over Belichick, and the anticipation of, like, holy cow, we're going to beat this team. They're going to go to 3-0. This is it. You know, the drought's going to be over here this year. We know it would still last six more seasons, but that day was great just for my family, for the weather, for the moment. I was there. My brother and I were sitting next to each other, and that Fred Jackson play, I mean, Drayton Florence, the pick six in there, you know, that's kind of a highlight of that game. But in there, the play where Jackson takes it down to the 1-inch line, and then Belichick's on the field trying to get his way with the clock and the replay, and realizing that he can't, and that we know Brady's not going to take the field again, and then Lindell kicks the 28-yarder to win it. That in terms of the more modern time, as an adult, that was my favorite day at the stadium.
Love that. And I watching that as I'm in high school, like, was insane of just knowing. Oh wait, not that one. That one's not high school. That was Sam Adams. I'm mixing my Patriots games up, Brian. Joe was probably barely born.
In what was that? That was 03? Or no, that was 2011.
That was earlier.
Yeah. That was 2011. Yeah, I was 9.
The one I'm talking about was 2011.
Yes.
So I'm watching that one, and I'm just like, oh my God. Because you're mentioning Belichick and like how he's just absolutely giving it to the officials. No, it's a touchdown. Not so fast, my friend. And that's one of the ones where you just, no matter where you are, you remember that one. Because again, it had been so long since they'd beaten the Patriots.
Yeah, and it involved two of my favorite Bills of the drought era. It's Fitzpatrick and it's Fred Jackson. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's probably not a unique opinion of favorite drought players is Fitzpatrick and Fred Jackson. They probably are on everybody's top five list, for sure, of players that we loved during the drought, whether it was Kyle Williams or Eric Wood or, you know, others. You know, eventually we know they break the drought with Kyle Williams, which is pretty cool. But I think that day for me, you know, there were these blips within the long drought where you thought, like, hey, this could be the spot that they finally break it. That day leaving the stadium, I thought, okay, you know, this is going to be the year they're going to break it. And, well, obviously they did not.
All right, Brian, it's 1:52. Sabres pregame starts now.
All right, let's do it.
And we're looking
at droughts, right?
Speaking of droughts, yes. But here's one that is an extended streak and not a drought, though. The Sabres are looking to win 11 in a row. That would reset the franchise record for most consecutive wins. And you're playing Columbus now in an afternoon game after what was easily their most impressive performance of the season.
The Dallas win, to me, is just so legitimizing of this win streak.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they haven't beaten good teams. I mean, they've beaten Edmonton along the way in this streak here, too. You know, they're obviously a very good team. I mean, for whatever you want to say about some of the teams in the East, like New Jersey or the Islanders, who in the standings are good teams, you can go through and say that. But Dallas, there's no debating. I mean, they are the second best team in the league on paper. Only Colorado is better. And I think Dallas just represents everything that the Sabres throughout this drought have struggled with. Any big team that has net presence, that is strong, that, you know, I'll throw out all the cliches here, that plays that big, heavy game. The Sabres never played well against teams like this. That's why they could never beat Seattle for a long time here. And Dallas, by the way, beyond having all that, they're super skilled, too. So, including a player that I know you guys talked about that should have been on the Olympic team in Robertson. But anyway, for them to beat Dallas and for them to do it in the way that they've been doing it is, hey, we're going to start to really get to our game here. I know Lindy Ruff would love it to be 60 minutes, but in the second period, we start to take over. We start to get to our game. And then the third period, we shut it down and we know how to finish. I had somebody on Twitter today ask me, like, hey, you know, remember a few years ago when they got so close and then in March they couldn't handle the pressure? Like, how do you think they're going to handle this going into the second half of the season. And I said, I think for the most part, I think they're going to handle it better because of how they're handling the pressure within games. I said, not only they are playing third periods as good as we've seen here over the last decade. If there's one thing that last year was an absolute disaster, was how they finished games. They just couldn't handle the pressure. They crumbled anytime a team would score a goal or put pressure on them, or if the Sabres took a penalty. Now in the third period, I mean, they have, I did this with Paul last pregame, I'll do it with you here right now. When's the last time the Sabres had a poor third period? Well, Dallas, they won that period 2-0. St. Louis, they won the third period 2-0. Boston, they won that period 1-0. Ottawa, a tie, but they killed off a tuck penalty at the 18:09 mark. New Jersey, they won it 1-0. Now the Islanders, they led 2-1. They gave up a 6-on-4 goal right at the end. Kesselring took a penalty, but then in the shootout, Buffalo ends up coming through. Philadelphia, they won the third period 2-1. Seattle, they won the period 1-0. Third period of Vancouver during this whole streak 0-0, but they were protecting a 3-2 lead. They did that. Edmonton is the game you got to go back to, the first game of the streak that they actually lost the third period in 0-3. But that was the 3-0 lead that evaporated to 3-3. McDavid scored with 1 second left, and then Tuck scored the first shift of overtime. So they still collectively got it together. But that's how the streak started. So if you want to ask me, like, how is this streak happening over 10 games, there's a lot of reasons. But I'll start with how they've finished and played third periods. Tremendous.
Brian? Well, we're going to get you going here so that we can get you through to more of the Sabres pregame as things are going to get going here. But we'll hear from you in just a little bit.
Yeah, we'll start off here. Paul Hamilton's live in Columbus for the game. So we'll have Paul's take here to start. We've got Lindy Ruff. And also, Paul, just literally less than an hour ago, he interviewed Tage Thompson about making the Olympic team. Paul texted me right away. He said Thompson interview is very, very good. So
there we go.
I'll be looking forward to having that. And our normal pregame features as well, taking you up to Dan and Rob at 3.
Perfect. We'll hear from you then, Brian. Thanks for jumping on.
Okay, guys. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the game today.
Thank you, Brian Koziel there on the Western Hotline. And with that, we will enjoy the game, but as I usually will do for our guests today, Paul Hamilton, Travis Yost of TSN, Brian Koziel there just now. For Evan on the board, for Joe Kelly, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been another edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Thank you to everyone that called in today. You guys are awesome. Everyone that called in, everyone that listened in here today. Let's see if the Sabres get to number 11 coming up next.